Welcome to Souls Harbor's weekly podcast. We believe that God has called us to lead people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, help them grow to be like Jesus, and involve them in reaching lost people. Listen now to this week's message.
So you all are wondering, are you going to preach, Pastor Barry? It's 11:35. If you preach like normal, we'll be here till 1. So how about we compromise? I will preach. I won't preach like normal. I'll get you out of here before 1. Is that fair? Let me just share a little bit this morning. How about I take this morning's message and we turn it into 2? How's that? I knew you guys would be right there with me. I was serious. I'm running on 6 cups of coffee and Jesus. You know, it's amazing to me. Every year after we come back from convention, God does just stuff like this. I don't know how, not every year, but almost. I just see God just move in an incredible way. Something about spending a day and a half in His presence that is powerful, powerful. Makes me almost think that, you know, a lot of the administrative stuff, I just forget about it and just go be with Jesus. However, even the disciples had to deal with that side of ministry as well. So it's always good to get into the presence of God. And I don't know, maybe I just need more coffee. No, nobody gonna bite on that one, are you? All right, fair enough. Fair enough. Turn with me this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 11. I've been preaching through the Old Testament. We're going to be in Genesis 11 this morning. And there is a message in here that I believe God wants me to share, not just to fill time and not just to give Ruthie time to get done with kids' church in the back this morning. It's sincerely something I believe really fits well with what God has done this morning, everything that's been said and the prayers that have been prayed. Genesis chapter 11, verse 27 is where we're going to be. Genesis 11, 27. The title of my message this morning is Unstuck in Your Story. Unstuck in Your Story. Verse 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah was Abram's, who became Abraham, Abram's father. So this is the man that's the father of Abram. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot, and Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren, and she had no child. Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and this is the part I want you to hear this morning, and they went together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. Did you all catch that? Terah took his son Abram and his son's wife, his daughter-in-law, and they left Ur of the Chaldeans, and they headed out to go into the land of Canaan. And then we have this word, but. The enemy uses that word so often to destroy and to hinder what God wants to do. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Those of you that have been here a few weeks, you remember I spoke a week or so ago on the Tower of Babel. And if you remember, this ought to help you make a mental connection back to that story. The entire world was doing evil in the sight of God, and they settled in the plains and began to build the Tower of Babel. They settled. Can I tell you this morning that when God's people choose to settle, it's never good. They settled. And we're told here, Haran, and they settled in the city of Haran. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Have you ever got stuck? Anybody here ever got stuck? How many of you have some really good stuck stories? I see a couple hands. All right, a couple, 2, 3. How many of you were doing something you shouldn't have been doing when you got stuck? All right, now the honesty's coming out. Now I'm seeing it. All right, I kind of suspected there was a little more to that story than what I was getting. All right, have you ever got stuck? This morning, if you want to help us to spread the news of what God's doing here at Souls Harbor, one of the ways you can do it is putting a post out on Facebook or Instagram. Those of you that are social media experts, put something out there, maybe something I say. Take a picture of somebody better looking than me and say, I was at Souls Harbor today. I don't know, but you can use hashtag SHC, unstuck in your story. And it will help us get the word out. Put it on your personal page. Let all your friends that are sinners. You all got friends that are sinners, right? If you don't, why not? Jesus hung out with them, right? He was accused of hanging out with drunkards and gluttons. And let your friends see that you were in church this week. Show them on social media. Help them with that. Stuck. Have you ever got stuck? Unstuck in your story. Well, Terah is the father of Abram, as I mentioned, and God had spoken to them. And I want to show you a map here just to give you a little bit of foundation, and we'll pick this up and finish it next week. But I want you to see Ur of the Chaldees on the lower right side there. You see the dot. That's where these guys started. And it wasn't just go jump in the car and let's drive an hour. It was a long process to get from Ur all the way up to Haran and then back down to Canaan or Shechem or Bethel. That's all Canaan right there is where God told them to go. We're assuming he told Terah to go there. We know he told Abram to go there. We're assuming he told Terah to go there. But regardless, we know that's where they set out for was Canaan. Now, the reason they didn't just, because you all know the shortest point between two, or shortest distance between two points is a straight line, right? You all good in geometry? The reason they didn't go straight from Ur to Canaan was because there was a problem in between. It was called desert. So they had to go the long way around. And you can see as they moved from Ur to Haran, they crossed the Euphrates River. We don't know exactly the route they took, but we know they probably went through some desert places. We know they probably forded the river, maybe more than one time crossed the river. We know it was a many, 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 many days journey. We know they were going by camel, by foot. We know they weren't going by airline. They weren't going by automobile. And it was a rough, rough trip. So I wanted you to just get a feel for this trip that these guys were taking. I believe God has given me four areas that they got stuck in. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I prefer to do that. The first three I'm going to talk about this morning, I'm assuming because the story in the Bible doesn't give us that level of detail, but I suspect being human nature, the human condition being what it is, that these guys got stuck a few times between Ur and Haran. Anybody here ever travel in the desert? Anybody here ever travel in the swamp? Anybody here ever travel on dirt roads? Anybody here ever been a teenager in their first car and didn't know what they were getting into? Okay, then you get stuck. They probably got stuck, and that's what I want to talk about these first three, and then the fourth one we may get to next week, I want to talk about getting stuck in Haran. When I was a teenager, you know, about 150,000 years ago for some of you that are a little bit, yeah, I know, right? Ruthie and I, Ruthie is my wife, for those of you that are here for the first time, Ruthie is my wife. We were dating. We lived in northern Indiana, and she lived in a little town called Plymouth. I went to a church, and she went to a church south in the country, in the middle of Amish country, south of the little town of Napanee that I grew up in. And it was about a 30-minute drive from Plymouth to our church county line. And I don't remember the story. I don't remember why this ended up happening, but I know this is what ended up happening. They had a dinner. It was a Christmas dinner. They had a Christmas dinner going on, and it was earlier in December. And I wasn't taking Ruthie. We were just dating. We weren't married then, but I wasn't taking Ruthie. I was taking her little sister to this dinner. I guess I was trying to make points with mother-in-law to be. I don't know. But all I remember is I got her little sister, Becky, and we got in the car and we left from their house. And to get from her house to the church, you didn't take main roads because that just wasn't cool or fun or anything else. You take as many back roads and county roads as you possibly can. So we got started and we came into the little town of Bremen, which is halfway in between. And we come around 331 and we come down to this county road. And it was like it always is in the winter in northern Indiana. It was snowy. The roads were snowy. And, you know, if you've got a car that's a rear-wheel drive and you're a teenager and you're driving, the goal is not to go in a straight line. That's silly. Who'd want to do that? Kyle, don't listen to this. Right? So we come along, and it's about 20 degrees outside, and it's at night, and it's in the dark, and we come along, and we go and turn onto this county road, and I wasn't really trying to impress my fiancé's little sister because I didn't really care. It was just fun. But I come around the corner, I thought, this would be a great opportunity to fishtail this rear-wheel car. And just as we come around the corner and I started straightening out, I goosed it a little bit, and I didn't realize that it wasn't just slippery snow. It was ice. And as I did, that car came all the way around. I think it's been long enough, I don't remember, but I think 360 degrees. All I do know is we ended up in the ditch with the nose up against a fence post, and we weren't backing out. and it's 20 degrees, and it's dark, and it's night. And I got to be honest with you, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, at this point in my life, I'm about 18, 19 years old, and I'm looking at my wife's sister, and she's about 14, and I'm thinking, okay, I got two choices here. I'm in a stick, and I know she doesn't drive, and can I ask her to get out and push? What am I going to do? I didn't. And I got saved from having to make that decision because the car died, and I got out because I couldn't get it to start back up, and I went around and looked, and there was this green fluid pouring out all over the white snow, and I had busted the radiator. Now, in that situation, what would you guys have done? What would you do? What would you do? Call Ghostbusters. How many of you would have done what anybody in this day and age would have done? You would have taken your cell phone out and made a phone call. Am I right? Amber, isn't that what you'd have done? Isn't that a sensible thing to do? AAA. Right. It was 1985. Cell phone? What's that? The only cell phones that were around were those that hooked up to these big old gadgets in the center, and you had to plug into the battery, and they're about this long and about this big around, and if you held them with both hands, you could almost get them to your ear. And who could afford that? I got out of my car. I said, Becky, stay there. I'm going to walk in the 20-degree weather in the dark to the nearest house and see if I can call somebody, because they actually had landlines. I'm not that old, guys. They really did have landlines in those days. Yeah, it was a party line, but it, you know. So I walked down the road to the nearest farmhouse, and it was a mile. It was at least a mile. It was a mile. And I went up, knocked on the guy's door, just hoping he doesn't come out and shoot me. Because it was dark, and it was 20 degrees, and I was in the middle of nowhere. And it was a farmer, and fortunately, he was a kind farmer. He came out and said, let me get my stuff on. I'm going to come down there and help you. And he got his stuff on, and he came down, and he helped us, and he got hooked onto my car, and he pulled me out, and he said, look, I'll just take you guys where you need to go. I'm like, all right, awesome. I love you. You're a great man of, I don't know if you're of God, but if you're not, you should be. And he hooked onto us, and he was going to take me to my house in Napanee, which was about 30 minutes away. So he gets hooked on, and I'm ready to get in the nice warm cab of his nice warm truck, and he's like, oh, no, somebody's got to steer that car. Becky? What? No, I didn't do that. So I took Becky, I took my wife's little sister, and I put her up in the cab of that nice warm truck, and I climbed in the back of that cab after walking in 20-degree weather down to the farmers and back in the dark. And my feet were frozen. Frostbite was coming on. I was hurting pretty badly. Listen to me whine, right? So it's fine. Y'all laugh. You weren't there. And I got in the car, and he pulled me from where we were to my house and dropped me off, and thank God for the kindness of a farmer. But it hurt. My feet hurt like they never hurt before in my life. And then you go inside, because you all have ever been cold, you know how this goes. And then they become numb, and then you go inside, and they start to warm up, and it hurts all over again. Like, what? I suspect somewhere in that trip from Ur to Haran, Tara had an experience similar to mine, in that I call that stuck and stupid. I got stuck and stupid. Some of you all been stuck and stupid. And that's where I want to preach this morning for just a few minutes. I want to talk about five areas that we get stuck and stupid. I've been there. Been there more than once. And you know, I'm going to be honest with you, it's okay to go through stupid. But the key to that is going through stupid, not getting stuck. Y'all with me this morning? Stuck and stupid. I want to talk about five areas. If you guys will, going to jump around a little bit here. Go a little further with that so we can see the five areas, if you would. Just a couple more slides. Keep going. There you go. We get stuck and stupid in relationships. We get stuck and stupid in finances. We get stuck and stupid with God. We get stuck and stupid with ministry. And we get stuck and stupid as the church. And that's where I want to talk this morning for just a few minutes. And next week I'll finish up the other areas that we get stuck. Because it isn't just stupid we get stuck in. Let me just share what I'll share with you what I'll be sharing next week. We get stuck in stupid, but sometimes we get stuck in mud and misery too. We're going to go there. We get stuck in mud and misery. Some of us get stuck because we run out of gas. Joe, I wish you'd have ran out of gas. I love you, my friend, but it would have been a great story, but he didn't run out of gas, so I can't tell it. I'll tell a different one. But we run out of gas, and we get stuck because we run out of gas. Anybody here ever been spiritually dry? Spiritually dead? Spiritually ready to quit? You need to hear next week, run out of gas. We run out of gas. Sometimes we get stuck because we run out of gas. And then sometimes we get stuck in good. And what God really has is great. We'll talk about that next week. But for this morning, let's spend some time in stupid. Y'all with me? I got just a few minutes, so I'm going to have to squeeze it in. Let me tell you what stupid looks like in relationships. And maybe this rings more, it resonates more with me because I've spent so many years over the years with watching teenagers and especially girls, but not just girls. We've destroyed intimacy in America. We've destroyed it. When I preach to generations 30 and under, I have to really spend a lot of time explaining what I mean by intimacy, because when I say intimacy, their minds go automatically one place. Sex. And our society and Hollywood and the world we live in has so destroyed intimacy that in minds, intimacy is sex. This morning, intimacy is not sex. Sex is intimacy, but intimacy is not sex. Intimacy is the ability to be transparent with somebody. We can be intellectually intimate. Me and Scott can be intellectually intimate. I can tell him my thoughts. He can tell me his thoughts. We can disagree. You know what? I'm going to talk about Jonathan because we disagree on a couple of things. Oh, yeah. We can be intimate intellectually, and we can disagree on stuff, and we can still love one another. That's intimacy. That's appropriate intimacy. That's what ought to happen in all kinds of relationships. But our society's destroyed that. They've made intimacy sex. We can be intimate emotionally. Me and Scotty, we have a level of emotional intimacy. He can share his feelings, I can share with my feelings, and we can still see each other as men, and we keep it very appropriate because we love each other. We've done life together for a lot of years, haven't we? 6 years. That's an appropriate thing. But this society, we've destroyed intimacy in our society. So here's what stupid looks like. Stupid looks like when we get ourselves in relationships where we're desperate for intimacy. So desperate for intimacy that it doesn't matter who I connect myself with, who I build a relationship with, I just have to have somebody. And I see it in our many times in our teenage girls, in that I've had this conversation recently. The only value they see in themselves is if they have a boy in their life. You understand what I'm saying? And when the only value you have, the only value that there is to you is having a young man in your life, do you know you will do just about anything? I'll flip that around. You will do anything. You will give your body. You will give your mind. You will give your money. You will give your soul. You will give anything to have that person in your life, because if you don't have a person in your life, you have no value. Now look, I don't know who needs to hear this preach this morning. Maybe this is something that ought to be preached just to you, the youth, but I don't believe that's the case, because I suspect that there may be some of you on some level, to one degree or another, you may be as an adult living with the consequences of having walked that path. See, here's the thing this morning. God has made you, ma'am, lady, sir, mister. God has made you in the image of God. And your value is not created from who you have a relationship with. Your value is created in the fact that you're made in the image of God. Y'all with me this morning? And we live our lives in relational stupidity, and stupidity is really a very poor choice of words, and it doesn't work really well on this particular one, because it's not stupid as much as it just is. sad, broken, desperate for somebody. Because I watch very smart people that live their lives that way. And I ask you this morning, where are your relationships? Where are your relationships? You know, it may be this morning you're in a marriage. And it's in a hard place. Can I just get real for a minute? To the point that you came this morning and when you prayed and you threw something down, what you were trying to throw down was your marriage. Because the marriage didn't begin on a solid foundation. It began out of desperation. A need for intimacy. It may be this morning that you've never even thought in these terms, why did I step into this relationship that I'm in right now? Pastor Barry, that's it. That's why I did it. But what you do know is you're constantly doing this. All right. Complete honesty. If y'all don't lie, you're in church. How many of you ever had a fight with your spouse? Some of you need to put both hands up. Thank you. You know what that's called? Life normal. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about butting heads to the point you degrade one another. You hate one another. You criticize one another. You forget why you fell in love to begin with one another. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this kind of relationship going on in a marriage to the point that you no longer value her. You no longer put her first. You no longer put him first. It destroys your joy. It destroys your victory. It destroys your anointing. It destroys the hand of God on your life. And it's the enemy coming at you and trying to destroy you. You say, Pastor Barry, what do I do? 5 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, I stepped into this relationship with this person, and it wasn't for the right reasons. It was because I was desperate. It was because I was whatever because I felt like I needed somebody that was my value. And it was and I realize now, 5 years later, 10 years later, 20 years later, 40 years later, I realize that I stepped into that relationship for the wrong reason in the wrong place. What do I do? There are those that would tell you divorce them. Walk away from them. And maybe that would be the best advice except for this. I know a God that still heals. And I know a God that still resurrects. And I know a God that fixed broke. And I know a God that redefines. And I know a God that doesn't live in the past. And I know a God that can take an evil past or a bad past or a poor choice and can turn it around and make it glorious for His kingdom. I know a God that can take a young man that showed up at our youth group because of the weed and because of the girls. I know a God that can take a young man that showed up not even sure what he was walking into. Were you? He had churches tell him to go away. One of these days we'll have to break out the picture, Scotty, if you are comfortable with that. I know you will. Stand up here. Now you can leave your hat on.
No, I just want.
All right. But you just want to see your hair. If I had hair like that, I probably would too. You know what this guy has in front of his name? Three letters. R-E-V. You know why? Because he's called of God. He's gone through the hard work to formalize that calling. This man truly is a reverend. He can marry you. He can bury you. How does that make you feel?
That scares me, man.
Right? Thank you, Scotty. God can revolutionize these lives. Why can't God revolutionize your marriage. The thing is, these guys had to walk in, and somewhere along the way, they had to break. You had to put down pride. You had to put down self. You had to put down a lot of stuff and say, God, I'm broken and I can't take it anymore. And the pain of going forward the way I am is worse than the pain of staying where I'm at. And I'm asking you this morning, do you need God to do a revolution in your marriage? Because you're stuck in a relationship. I'm not telling you to break your relationship. I'm asking you to get unstuck. Right? Is this speaking to anybody? Ruthie and I have been married 31 years? 32 years. 32 years. I just stopped and think. August 24th. 32 years. They've all been good. They really have. The first seven were really hard. They were good, but they were hard. She's stubborn. Oh, I will. And she'd be the first one to acknowledge it, but she'd then turn around and say, yeah, and so are you. And that makes for an interesting life. Made for hard 7 years. It took me 7 years to figure out the world didn't revolve around me. Y'all figured that out? It took me 7 years to realize that as a husband, I needed to put her first. Lay down my life for her. It took me another seven to convince her that she needed to respect me. Edit that out. Not really. First 7 years were hard. Some of you that have been married a little bit longer than I have, and maybe some of you that have been married as long as I have, you can attest to this. If you stick it out, they get better. If you work at it. But I could have been stuck. We could have been stuck. We had fights. Oh my goodness, we had fights. Oh, not ever physical fights. She scares me too much for that. Kidding me. I'd never get physical with Ruthie. She's only 5 foot tall, and at the time we got married, she weighed 94 pounds and scares me. So yeah, it was never physical, but we fought. We fought over important things, like which way the toilet paper came off the roll. I've told you all that story, and that is a true story. We fought over things because I like to read, and I didn't understand why she had a problem with me laying in bed for 2 and 3 hours at night after a long day and reading my book. Couldn't understand that. Didn't understand why she thought we ought to talk. Let me talk. What was that? I'm a man of few words. We're married. Can't you just read my mind? Y'all laughed till you get married. Didn't come talk to me, huh? Right? Everybody on that front row is single. Y'all just need to stay quiet. It gets better. It gets better. But you got to work at it. And you got to talk it through. And when you need help, you got to get help. And you don't live in stuck, because stuck will destroy you. Stuck will destroy your calling. Stuck will destroy your joy. Stuck will destroy your happiness. Stuck will destroy everything God has for you. Don't stay stuck. If you need help, get help. Say, Pastor Barry, where do I get help? Well, I'll tell you, a great place to start is the Word of God. Next place to go is prayer and the Holy Spirit. Next place to go is somebody in your life that has some maturity, that's been through some of the stuff that you're getting ready to go through. Go sit down and have a conversation with them. Somebody that's been married for 32 years or 50 years or 75 years or whatever. Come talk to a pastor. If none of that works, see Ruthie. She can fix anything. Married up. You're supposed to laugh there. Nobody even laughs. You all believe me. That's like sticking the knife in, Pastor Barry. Good grief. That's like when I was 23 and became a youth pastor, I used to tell jokes. I used to joke about getting old, and it was really funny because everybody laughed, like, Pastor Barry, you're not old. You're 23. You're not old. Well, about 25, I'd make those jokes, and nobody laughed. I quit telling them at that point. I just quit telling them. Can I get you to stand this morning? Bow your heads for just a moment. God's already done some cool things at this altar, and I'm going to bring this to a close. Yeah, Jared, come play something, so I'll be done. Makes me feel like I got a closing here. But in all sincerity, you guys, y'all just hold tight for just a second, because I do want to pray over you this morning. And I would ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'd ask you to just have a moment alone with Jesus right here, right now. Because I really believe God orchestrated this service this morning the way it went for a reason. I really believe what God has had me share out of a very long message is for a reason. So I'm going to ask you this morning, is there anybody here who would be honest enough between you and God? Nobody else needs to see this. It's nobody else's business. But you would say, Pastor Barry, I really would appreciate it if you would pray over me this morning because I'm stuck. I talked about marriage a lot. It may be another relationship you're stuck in. But anybody here would slip their hand up and say, Pastor Barry, right now I'm stuck in a relationship and I need to be unstuck. I didn't say divorced, I said unstuck. Several hands. Will you all just agree with me in prayer? Father, right now in Jesus' name, we pray over these men and women that have lifted their hands into the air and have confessed before you, God, I need your help. Lord, you're the supernatural, almighty, amazing God that's able to raise the dead, that is able to change and heal the broken. This morning we pray, I pray over each individual and over their relationships. God, I pray, move them out of stuck. I ask you to heal marriages. I ask you to soften hearts. I ask you to give them the courage, the boldness, the death of pride that they will go and find somebody that will help if that's what they need to do. I pray, Holy Spirit, speak into their hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, speak peace to them. I pray, Holy Spirit, give them wise counsel. I pray, God, stir within them a passion for the Word of God to see what your Word says to do and how to live. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you and we praise you. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you so much for coming and worshiping. Have a great, great afternoon. And hope to see you Wednesday, if not Wednesday, next Sunday. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you're looking for a church home or are interested in what God is doing through Souls Harbor, visit us at www.soulsharborag.com. If you have an encouraging story of what God has done in your life through these podcasts, please share it with us at sharbor@indy.rr.com.